Hello, welcome to Omoluabi Podcast, where African proverbs meet biblical wisdom. My name is Anu.
And I am Joseph. Yeah, welcome.
Why are you doing staccato?
It's allowed.
Welcome. Today's episode is about greed.
Mm.
So I will leave it to you, Kola, to take us on.
Okay, so today's proverb says, Okonju abu okele. Oju e lami. Okanju abu okele. Oju e lami. Do you know what that means? Who is an okanjua?
Okanjua, someone that is greedy, that doesn't have patience. Okanju.
Okay. What does it mean for oju to lami?
Tears sprang out from your eye.
Yeah, a good Yoruba student. Okay, so what does the proverb translate to? Okanju abu okele, oju e lami.
A greedy person takes a morsel of food and tears gushes from his eyes.
Okay, yeah, I'll give you that. So what's
give me that. What's the score then?
110.
Oh, good.
Percent. So good. Yeah, you did well.
What do you think about the proverb?
Yeah, it's an interesting proverb. I mean, it's dramatic. So to understand the proverb is to picture the drama that birthed the proverb. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The drama is that a greedy person is placed, or I mean privileged one way or the other, to have or to partake in this meal. Perhaps a meal that is supposed to be shared. But out of wanting to have a larger share of the big bowl of pounded yam, eba, amala, apu, whatever food that could look like, he goes for a very big morsel. Like, he dips his hands in and brings out this very huge morsel to swallow, so that, I mean, he can have more than every other person. But in the process of doing that, he discovers, oh my word, I can't swallow this, it's so huge. But again, to save himself the embarrassment of having to spit it out or whatever, he forces himself to swallow it anyway. Doing such a thing is tantamount to inconveniencing yourself, putting yourself in a tremendous pain, so much so that the person comes to tears. In this case, tears of pain, tears of tremendous discomfort as a result of his greed. I want to have more than everybody. I want to have it quickly than every other person. I want to quickly amass it. I want to hoard it. I want to ingest it. I want to, yeah. The aftermath of that greed is that the person gets into some tremendous pain. Signs of which involves those tears coming or gushing from his eyes. Yeah, so I think it's also, in a sense, a proverb about repercussion. The repercussion specifically in this case of greed or covetousness. That when you are so greedy about one particular thing and you want it all for yourself, or you want the larger share, beware. Because who knows, you might find yourself as a direct aftermath of that in so much pain and discomfort that you would probably even weep.
Thank you. And while you were talking, something came to my mind.
Okay.
That from the context of the proverb, it's not just the greed that is worrying in this person. It's also the inability to own up to mistakes.
Absolutely.
So he has bitten more than he can chew.
Exactly.
You said he had two options. Spit it out. But he chose to swallow. I think greed comes with pride.
That's right.
You've been greedy, but instead of
owning up to the realization of your greed, you cover it up.
You chose to make yourself uncomfortable just to maintain that status quo. So that was the perspective I'm getting from that. To all of us, when we know we've beaten more than we can chew, let's kindly spit the things out. Let's kindly let go. Stop the business. Stop the program that is not working. Don't force yourself because everybody has seen you do it, so you must continue to do it. And the Holy Spirit is saying, stop. Let's stop. Stop eating that food, you're full. Stop. Don't eat that chocolate, you don't need it.
Mm.
Don't say you're stress eating. Just stop.
Mm.
Let's be immediate in our stopping so that we don't hurt ourselves.
Yeah. Absolutely. Let's take that to the scripture. The Bible, I believe, is filled with warnings upon warnings upon warnings about greed, about covetousness, about pride, right from the first few pages of the scriptures in the Garden of Eden, with Eve craving that fruit because some serpent is telling them, when you have this, you will have what God has, as though there is something God has that he hasn't let them in on. And of course, we know that became the beginning of the undoing of the human race. Thank God that God himself made an alternate plan for restoration, by which and in which we now stand and partake and share, and by which we are reconnected back to God's original plan and intention for us. But that's just one of very many examples. Another example that comes to mind is the story of David and Bathsheba. How that, of course, we know Bathsheba will go on to become the mother of Solomon, will go on to become the mother of the wisest king that Israel had ever had, and wealthiest king, they would say. But that's a story that, of course, David himself knows that even for the rest of his tenure as king, he paid for his error. When God was going to speak through Nathan the prophet to judge, as it were, David, in that instance, the things that were said into his life continued to haunt him till the end of his days. In other words, in that case, yes, he's a man after God's heart, and God will give that testimony about him. But there was once upon a time that David bit more than he can chew. And rather than spit it out, he forced himself to swallow. He had multiple occasions to stop, but he kept on. He had occasions to nip it in the bud when he was walking by the rooftop of the palace and sighted the woman. But he chose to say, "Go on, call her for me, bring her here." Of course, even when she was with her, he had the opportunity to stop again, but he went ahead with the drama. He had the opportunity to own up if the lady came up to say she's pregnant. But rather than that, David went on to send for the husband to say, come from the battle, come sleep with your wife. So that at least eventually we can say you're the one that owns the child, you see? And when the man, in his full faithfulness and loyalty, will say, "No, my mates and my colleagues are at war fighting. I won't come home and be enjoying koinonia with my wife. I would rather sleep at the door of the palace and head back to war at the next opportunity to do so." David sent him to battle back with a letter carrying his death sentence. And of course, he died. So, I mean, very multiple opportunities to press the stop button. But David kept mounting upon himself by virtue of his greed in this instance. And of course, the aftermath of that was unpleasant. Kids that were incestuous. One of his sons was going to chase him off the throne. He wanted to become king. So yeah, the guy messed up basically. We like him. We're proud of him. There are many things to learn from David's life. But if there's another thing to learn, it's... beware of your greed. Stop when you should stop. Don't wait until your conjurer causes your eyes to become teary. Over to you, Anu, to give us some wrap-up thoughts.
Thank you. While you were giving your part, what came to my mind was how that greed actually distracts us.
How so?
So a few times where I have beaten more than I can chew, I don't think I heard God as clearly. Because what greed does is, when you want a thing so badly, it's all you can ever think of. Whether God is telling you, to know you have been saying stop. Most times they can't even hear the stop. They will say it's the devil, and I rebuke you, devil. This must go on. This is the clinic of God.
I cannot be embarrassed.
I cannot... Yeah. So we lose our attentiveness. And in Christianity, I think the bane of our Christianity is always to be attentive. Because there are lots of things, there are lots of natural things that distract us. That's then right. There's the devil trying to distract us. So projects or activities or tasks should not be as important as to make you salivate and pant after result, or salivate and pant to the doing of it. God is all-knowing, is all-powerful. He's got the whole world in his hands. So whatever it is you're running after, you think it's not, that is the end of the world, might not actually be. Give it to the person that owns the world.
Yeah.
And he that sees the end will actually make you know what season you're in and when to stop and think. God bless you.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you so much for that. So yeah, the proverb once again says, Okonju abu okele. So as you go into this week, don't be an okonjua, don't be a greedy person, don't swallow more than you can chew. And if you have swallowed more than you can chew, may your ears be open to hear the voice of your father telling you to open wide your mouth and spit out the excess and take just that which you can chew. To the praise and glory of his name. Until when next we come your way, we are hoping that you will remain an
Omoluabi.
God bless you. Bye for now.
Bye.